biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Darling, this is Halston Bobby, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. You know me, darling, I want to know what makes them so bad. You can watch me guide the Killer Bay, Heather Monroe, on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And you can watch it on the Fight TV app. Download it now.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got all of the bad boys here with me, and welcome to Three Count, guys. We have three good topics we find online to discuss, and let's not waste no time. Let's get right to it. On our count one from EWWrestlingNews.com, it's titled, Christopher Daniels says AJ Styles is the best in the world right now. Now, according, of course, to PWI that had earlier this year, they named their number one out of 500 wrestlers, John Moxley. Guys, I just want to ask you, thank you all for being here with us. AJ Styles, would you agree, is he the best in the world right now?
Listen, take nothing away from Moxley getting PWI. But without question, AJ Styles is the best in the business today.
Wow.
Whether he's a heel, whether he's a face, as a fan, you can always get invested in whatever storyline he's in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it now, at a later age, in his 40s, and he's still looking as athletic as ever.
What does that say, though? Because I always hear, and Matt Michaels will always tell you, hey, because somebody is 35 years old or because they are – okay, you just said it, King Lucky. The guy is 40, and he's now being said the best in the world. What can we say about that? Anybody?
Well, I mean, look, the proof is in the pudding. At the end of the day, AJ Styles debuted, if I'm not mistaken, in 1998, 1999. And you look at him now. I mean, yeah, he's come a long distance from when he first debuted. But, mm-hmm. I mean, he has tons of championships under his belt. He's gone to various promotions. He's given A quality work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he got to WWE, my opinion, I think that his debut for the Royal Rumble was awesome. It was phenomenal, actually. We were all excited. Think about all the years before then. We would always talk. I know I would talk about it because I watched TNA back in the day. And I said, man, AJ Styles needs to be in WWE. You know what I'm saying? And he could have been a thousand other places. He's truly just remarkable, fantastic. And he's one of the few that when he's retires, finally, whenever that is, I'm going to be sad. I'm going to actually not want him to retire. So that to me says a lot.
Well, I mean, Sin City Steve, Jonathan on our live video comment says, John Moxley is the fucking man. So maybe he's not on the AJ Styles is the best of the world. What's your take on this, man, being that John Moxley is part of your favorite organization right now?
Definitely. And so the thing is, we have to admit and come to grips with one major thing, and that is that the PWI list is a somewhat worked list. So mm-hmm. You can take it with a grain of salt. Personally, I do feel that John Moxley draws for AEW, mm-hmm. Without a doubt, and the numbers show it. The weeks where he was not on the show, they did not have as many viewers tuning in.
Okay.
The numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Now, whether there may have been other extenuating circumstances as well those weeks, that's debatable. But at the end of the day, we can only work with the data that's given. So as far as a ratings draw and a numbers mover, Moxley is more than anyone else in the business. He is drawing more eyes to his respective brand than anyone else.
So does that make him the best in the world?
That is what I was getting to.
Okay.
Okay. So with that being said, AJ Styles is on another level and has been on another level with his work rate and with his willingness to get people, or rather willingness to do whatever it takes to get people to tune in and to follow his career. You know, whether it was the dying days of WCW or when he was, you know, in TNA. And from there, you know, obviously the thing that will forever blow my mind is if you guys go back and you look at his debut in the Royal Rumble, WWE was so unsure that AJ Styles would be recognized that when he was coming out to the ring, they cut to a close shot of Roman Reigns' face as a reaction. They did not even show AJ Styles entering the Royal Rumble when he was standing at, you know, at the top of the ramp.
Yeah.
It was something that they've had to go back in, and I believe they've switched the footage now to where it actually shows that angle on the network. Yeah. But I remember watching it live and I was like, what the fuck? You're trying to kill this guy before he even gets over.
Right.
So without a doubt, everything that he's been able to accomplish in WWE is without a doubt phenomenal.
Right.
Because he's come so far and he's exceeded their expectations so much.
Yeah.
Dare I say, you put anybody else in that situation and they will not rise to that occasion like AJ Styles has.
Yeah.
So that getting Vince on your side when he already doesn't like you because you have an accent, because you're short, because you're coming from a competitor that wasn't really a competitor. I think it speaks volumes for what AJ Styles has been able to do over the years.
Matt Michaels, I believe you were trained back in the day with by Christopher Daniels.
I wasn't trained by him.
Well,
I wasn't trained. I wasn't trained.
What's your connection with Christopher? Just friends, or
I've just known him for years.
Known him. Okay. So being that you've known him,
UPW. There you go.
UPW. So being that you are familiar with him, you've known him for years. Would you say then? Would you agree with this assessment here on AJ being the best of the world? Do you think he's right on point, or you think maybe Christopher has finally lost his mind?
Everyone's saying the same answer. So yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. But you're missing the meat on the story there, buddy. You don't know what the meat on the story is? Christopher Daniels is an AEW executive. And Moxley was the top guy on the 500.
Mm.
That's pretty ballsy right there.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So, so Chris is telling the truth.
Yeah.
Put it that way. He's telling the truth.
Got you.
So it's a good point. I think.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a good point. Duh, it's coming out of my mouth.
No, shut up.
This guy. The self-proclaimed, not Michaels. The of archives.
I try not to say niceties to this guy because you know he's going to rub it in. All right. Well, good stuff, though. With that, let's jump over into our second count. This is from Sports Skeeter.
Don't do that again. Don't do that again. Don't ever do that again.
It's titled AEW Commentator Jim Ross Attacks Fan for Complaining to Tony Khan. So I guess how the story went was this. JR, of course, has its own podcast, and I'm not going to try to sound like him. But
you should try it.
I mean, there's the disclaimer on the show.
All right. Well, let me see. I don't know if I can do it. I mean,
Matt should give it the old college.
Matt Michaels is better as a
just put some barbecue on your lips. Put some barbecue on your lips.
Okay, let me see.
Got it.
The guy has the right to whistle PM, first of all. I'm not pissed at him. He's meaningless to me.
I never knew what Jim Ross would sound like if he was black.
That's good.
But the issue is, he had a tag in Tony. Tony Khan reads his tweets, especially on those taped show nights. He's all over the damn thing. The fan knows Tony is going to read it and hopes to make me look bad. There's where I get an issue. To your ears, I did suck. If I did, I'll do better. You're going to single out Tony to make sure Tony hears that a fan had a negative reaction to my work? I thought that was pure chicken shit. It's just amazing to me, the society we live in. All right. Guys, oh, you guys sitting over here busting up laughing.
I'm giving you 10. I'm giving you 10 on that shit.
Can I ask what's the number two special? Because you sound like the Colonel.
You sure do. Get a bucket of chicken, boy, and some barbecue sauce.
Hey, I want a biscuit with that, man.
Oh, my
God. That's where I imagine people sound when I pull up the KFC.
Do you realize that's your original recipe?
Did you realize you said chicken shit?
Yep.
Oh God.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I'm glad I provided your guys entertainment for the night. Okay, let's talk about the story here. A fan pretty much just he's getting upset from of what he's hearing with Jim Ross here. Guys, what's your take? I mean, does he have a point here? I mean, listen, maybe. I mean, the article goes just how important Jim Ross is to wrestling. He's been in this business for a long time. When we hear him, we're tuned in, we're listening, we have respect for Jim Ross. So maybe, you know, to some fans who maybe have not had that ride with him, maybe don't really understand, he's just full of info, and we love the idea of Jim Ross. But, it just sounds like that... the fan maybe just had enough of what he's been hearing and says, hey, hashtag Tony Khan, can you get rid of this guy? Is this what's your guys' take on this? Is this something the fan should have done? Could you just hashtag Jim Ross and let it be? What's the story? Go.
Listen, this fan ain't the only one. JR's feeling the heat.
Okay.
And as we've covered it many times on this show, it might be best if he stepped away from the commentary, right? Many mistakes and many missteps on his part. We love him, right? We love him. We do. But there's still other useful ways to use him. We talked about it before, about him being, used backstage interviews or whatever kind of interviews you want to do. But the commentary, keeping up with the younger generation, the names. I mean, how many more examples do you want? Should the fan have added Tony Khan? I mean, he's not wrong.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's...
Well, let me add... Simon Street, I mean, Jim Ross says, look, he says he would quit commentating when he cannot, quote, articulate, end quote, and embarrass himself or not able to talk about stories that these wrestlers tell in a ring.
So in other words, today. He quit 6 weeks ago?
Yeah. You know what? But I will say this. I think we can all agree that we love JR. He's been a huge part of our wrestling history. Some of the greatest moments that we've ever, like matches to where if you took out JR's commentary, it wouldn't seem right. So let's just be in agreement on that one. But it does come to the point to where just as much as wrestlers and ring competitors, where it's time to step away because you are taking away from everything you've built. And you start to tarnish your career. And to where, as a concerning person who loves JR, I would love to see a plan in action of when you may be willing to step away and how you'd be willing to step away and what marks. Because it's week after week after week. Now, it's not horrible, but we see the train wreck around the corner. Come on, Sin City Steve. You see it.
Well, look, let me go over to you, Sin City. He says, he continues saying that, look, pro wrestling is my life, and he hasn't lost any passion to talk about it week in and week out. Do you want a person that's passionate about the business to be on the commentary table, or you just think that, sometimes your passion just runs out?
So the thing is, I think JR could segue into more of a color commentary role where he adds things but is not the play-by-play guy. And that would be something that I would welcome. From, you know, calling people the wrong names to misgendering people to, you know, saying God only knows what.
Right.
From week to week.
Misgender. Was she in the ring, misgender? Misgender. Yeah.
But, yeah, man, like, it's one of those things. And, you know, you guys, the two of you that have already talked on this topic, I mean, you've pretty much said exactly what needs to be said. JR needs to he needs to be grooming his replacement at this point. You know, we need to, as people do in the wrestling business, we need to start thinking toward the future, and we need to build a commentary team, a youthful commentary team. I mean, hell, everybody always loves to knock WWE as being the old man's product, but at the end of the day, their commentary team is a lot younger than AEW's commentary team. And I think that that's something that can almost act as an elephant in the room that a lot of people aren't talking about. You know, they're already sowing the seeds for the future of their commentary booth. Whereas AEW, they evidently don't seem to give a shit at this point.
Let me ask you, Matt Michaels. It says the commentator was disappointed. The commentator was disappointed about this complaint, not because the fan criticized him, but because he took it to Tony Khan. What's your take on this? Because he at least just complained this to the person who he had an issue with, but you got to take it to his boss. What's your take?
First of all, he's in the fucking public eye, and what idiots do on their computer? They do. So, what the fuck? I mean, why does Jim even care? I would be, honestly, more concerned if I was Jim that right now he's just holding the chair for Renee.
You know what? I'd be 100% cool
with that.
Yeah, I'm going to be real with you right now.
Speaking the truth.
Bring it in time for Christmas.
I mean, as soon as that time's up, why is she not the first person to be looked at to just replace JR? Or if you want to make him color, get rid of Mask Guy.
No. I'm glad you said it, Matt Michaels, because here's the thing. Could maybe, if you were JR, in the shoes of JR, how would that feel? That, oh, I gotta go, but Excalibur get to stay?
Oh, yeah, the whole booth.
I'm just saying, that would get under my skin. No offense, Excalibur. Just saying, you the weakling, bro.
The whole booth should actually go. You know, and the reason you know that is because the most coherently entertaining booth is when Taz is in or Jericho's in or MJF's in. You know, it's like, well, they add another person who's a current personality. That works great. But listen, I'm seeing TBS 1988 give me, you know, throw in a masked wrestler, and that's what I'm watching. You know, it's almost 40 years past the prime, guys. Let's just kind of step aside. JR, you don't want to be Old Yeller.
Finally, a second person that used Old Yeller.
Suicidal.
Hey, but you know what's interesting, Matt Michaels, that you say that is because I feel like there's an opportunity for him, as we all mentioned, to groom the next person to come in, and you can be a part of that grooming process. I feel like if he keeps on down this road, and I might be overstating it, maybe a little too bold with saying this. You might take away that opportunity
because Jim's got a well-earned professional ego. And I don't know if he would take very kindly to having to groom the person who's going to replace him. Not saying that he would or wouldn't. I do not know him personally. I do not know his thoughts or whatever. But sometimes it's really hard when you're in that position for so long to be able to hand the reins over without there being a resentment. and it goes through broadcasting booths and various sports. You know, everyone should have a professional ego. And sometimes it's really hard to put aside that ego and do what's best for business.
Let me just ask you this quick question, Simon Street. If somebody hit me up, if they at me and said, you know, Simon Street is the worst of this group. Just get rid of his ass.
And you already have. And you already have. You already have.
Okay.
Hold on. What was my reply to you?
I don't remember. But look.
I said.
So if that was to happen, okay,
yeah.
Then that would be so. And then they get complained to me. Now, if I made action onto that, right, and you're not there, that's pretty much what you're saying here. You want that the person that at Tony Khan says, "Hey, you know what? He is right. I'm going to fire this guy and get rid of him." You seem to be okay with that. Would you be okay if someone does the same to you? And I say, "All right, Simon, you're done. Jonathan here doesn't like you. Boom."
Well, you also have to look at the situation, too. I mean, when you're comparing the two, you have other instances with JR to where other things are easily plain in sight that he's doing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, you have a contract, DJ. They might have to pay out on that contract.
Yeah, they might have to pay out, too. That's a whole other thing as well.
They got nothing. We're good.
Yeah. I mean, but also, too, I mean, with regards to using my comparison, it's really just one person, which is usually just a very disgruntled person anyways. Right. So, I mean, you know, I can understand that everybody has an opinion. I think it's great to be able as a human being to be able to share your opinion. I think that's always great for people to share their opinion. And there's always some truth to opinions.
Yeah.
Truth all right. be told.
No doubt. Let's jump over into our third count for tonight. Give me some time to lay this out. We got two stories that we're going to combine. The first one is from Ringside News. That one is titled Matt Riddle, WWE, and more sued for $10 million each by Candy Cartwright. The second article is from Heel by Nature. Lawsuit filed against WWE for violation of the American with Disabilities Act. I tell you, WWE has just been getting sued left and right. Their lawyers just definitely being paid well. Otunga, right, I guess? All right. Matt Riddle, let's go with the first one here. He filed a lawsuit, of course, against Samantha Tavel, who is known as Candy Cartwright. And she's returning fire with a lawsuit of her own directed at Riddle, WWE, and more. The recent court filings indicate that Samantha Tavel filed a lawsuit against Matt Riddle, WWE, Gabe Sapolsky, and Evolve Wrestling with the Circuit Court of Cook County, Illinois. Now, Talbot is seeking $10 million from each defendant, and her attorneys are claiming actual damages from emotional distress, punitive damages, attorney fees, and other costs related to the case. The lawsuit alleges that Matt Riddle sexually assaulted Talbot in April 2017 in the parking lot after an Evolve show. The lawsuit also alleges that Riddle bragged about it, and Evolve's owner, Gabe Sapolsky, who tactically approved, that's a quote there, of this sexual misconduct. The lawsuit also brings up that on May 19, 2018, when Riddle allegedly forced Tavel to perform oral sex on him by choking her. The suit also claims that this was done in front of other members of the Evolve roster while they were on a bus leaving a summit, an Illinois event, the site of Evolve 104. And the last thing it also mentioned in the lawsuit is that Evolve it has a misogynistic culture, which was created by those she is filing with the lawsuit against. Also alleged that Tavel had bookings with WWE and Evolve on around January 31st of this year, and Riddle forced her to perform sexual acts under the threat that she would lose those bookings if she denied him. And when she told Riddle that she refused to continue with these things, she allegedly told WWE and Evolve to stop booking her, and it was said that she had issues with talent to prevent her from getting booked. So that's the story when it comes from Ringside News. Now over to Hill by Nature. This one is it says that the WWE has been served lawsuit for allegedly denying equal access to its WWE shop website. Jasu Romero filed a lawsuit against WWE with the United States District Court of New York. And the filing is, Romero is visually impaired and legally blind person who requires screen reading software to read website content using his computer. Romero's lawsuit alleges that shop.wwe.com is not equally accessible to blind and visually impaired consumers. The suit states this violates the ADA, which is the Americans with Disability Act, and he is asking WWE to change its corporate policies and procedures to ensure its website will be accessible to the blind and visually impaired consumers. He's also looking to be awarded costs and expenses for attorney fees and demands a trial by jury. And of course, there's an entire filing below, which just breaks down everything. All right, fellas, we have two lawsuits that come in towards WWE. I'm just curious, which one of these lawsuits you think would be more of a problem for WWE? You think both of them will, neither one of them, or you see one of them really being maybe a challenge?
The latter, without question. I mean, it's real simple. Just fix it. I mean, you know, they probably will pay this to go away. As I imagine there's other things that they have, but yeah, I mean, now that they're aware of it, and maybe they were before, maybe somebody else brought it to their attention. But I think they'll do something to remedy this. You know, I don't see it going the long haul.
All right. What do you think, Simon Street? You were still going? All right.
Yeah. Cause I was going to expound on the first.
Okay. I'm sorry. So, keep going, man.
Yeah. I want to be real sensitive and you know, not
we get it. You got
not dismiss.
You got to watch your words. We got it.
Yeah, not dismiss what the allegations are, but I will say it's we've covered this before. It is tough to beat their lawyers in litigation. The incident in question happened, and there were other people in the van that were sleeping. But to allege that Matt Riddle had enough stroke to tell WWE or Evolve to stop booking her, it just seems...
What stroke, the word you want her to use?
Well, yeah, totally. But enough power, okay? And I'm sure that they did their homework when these allegations broke. So I do see the latter being more of an issue than the first.
All right, Simon Street, what's your take?
On the first one, I would definitely say the biggest thing to look at is definitely not so much what took place on the bus, because I believe that was already proven in a court case previously, where, you know, I guess allegedly would have taken place. But the biggest thing to look at, too, is did somebody essentially stop that person from getting booked, regardless of the situation? I think that needs to be looked at and investigated if that's the case, if Matt Riddle was able to stop that individual from being booked, that should be a problem. And that would be basis enough to sue somebody. Now with the second one, with regards to with people who are visually impaired or blind, otherwise stated, with regards to having access to a website, there are some things that are external, refreshable braille displays, or something, but just because if you have that external component, the actual website has to be compatible with that. And if they are not, they do need to upgrade their standard with their webpage and how people with visually impaired are able to access it. Much in the same ruling as a restaurant that must have a handicap ramp for a person who's wheelchair bound. Also, too, screen readers is another component you can add to your software. To where it basically screen reads everything that's on the web page. These are vital tools for people who are blind so that they can access the internet, which is a great empowerment tool. And if WWE did not have these as a compatibility issue, then they need to immediately change it ASAP. And it's a good thing that someone brought it forward to their attention.
So which one would you say of these could be more of a problem for them?
I would say the second one, surprisingly enough. I would say the second one, just because if they don't fix it.
Gotcha.
Do you see what I'm saying? If they don't take attention to it and fix it, it could be a problem later on.
Sin City, which one of these you think would be more of a problem for them and why?
Without a doubt, the latter. Ultimately, what it comes down to, I think that Lucky hit the nail on the head. We have to watch our words with how we're going about describing this stuff. But the thing that really stood out to me was the paragraph mentioning that the incident on May 19th, 2018, in the bus, according to the suit, it's claiming that it was done in front of other members of the Evolve roster.
Right.
So one thing, I mean, that right there. So at the end of the day, you're going to have people give statements that corroborate her claims.
Right.
If they're not able to do that, then it's literally he said, she said. And, that's not really going to have a long-term precedence. I think that the thing that really stands out too is, critics of the whole speaking out movement have said, oh, well, all these things are coming out about all these different talents in the business and things of that nature. And if they were real, then they would file lawsuits. Well, now finally someone is stepping up and actually following through with that. So we cannot take it lightly. By no means, am I saying that, the former of the two cases, should be swept under the rug, because I'm not saying that whatsoever.
Right.
But at the end of the day, there's a very cut and dried method with how things will proceed with this former case. With the latter case, Simon did make a lot of really good points as far as accessibility options that are in place. And things that should be used by people with impairments and things of that nature, or that are used by people in those predicaments and in situations of that nature. If for some reason the WWE website and the shop site are not in compliance with those, then without a doubt, then as Lucky said, they're going to just pay that one to go away, and they'll settle, and then they'll make those changes and retrofit the site accordingly. Right.
Okay.
So out of the two of them, I see the direct impact of WWE more so in the latter suit, but in the wrestling business as a whole, I think that we could see the former case as the one that actually has more precedence.
And that's where I'm coming to you, Matt Michaels. What about for you when it comes to these two? Which one do you see more of a problem for WWE?
Well, I think the Riddle, the Riddle thing right now, I don't think the WWE is getting sued, right?
Yeah, they're in.
Yeah, they're named in it.
Yeah.
They are named in it?
Yep, yeah. They are. It's like four of them. Them, Evolve.
Gabe, Sapolsky. Gabe,
yep.
And Matt, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you guys said it all in terms of what needs to be looked at and hey, if her story comes out that it's true, if the jury finds it true, then all the punishment towards what should come down to Matt and his career, hey, go ahead and do it. That's only fair. But until it's proven, is it something that's just going to end up being settled out of court? Because WWE can easily do that.
Right.
I think by far the harder case for the was for the WWE, the blind person case, because they never saw it coming.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. I knew you couldn't resist. I knew you couldn't.
Well played, Michaels.
Maybe that's why they named the pay-per-view You'll Never See.
Oh, hey, Michaels.
But I will say this. I will tell you right now. People in the visually impaired community, particularly blind people who cannot see, they have a very, very strong community. And if you piss them off and you just push them aside, you're going to pay for it. I'm just going to let you know.
Well, you just called them Nazis.
I didn't call them Nazis. What are you talking about, Nazis?
Well, they're all technically Nazis.
Oh, geez.
Oh my God.
All right, so okay. that is our...
We need a drum line.
that is our three count for tonight. Thank you guys for being a part of that. And we want to thank everyone also for being on our live comment chat that we're on every week. We jump on about 8-ish. So if you are a part of our social media, you should get the notification. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. What's the other one? Starts with P.
Periscope,
yes. I think that we're on that one as well. So there's different options for you to find us on to watch us. Right. And also, if you're not a subscriber, make sure just hit the subscribe button on any of your favorite podcast platforms as well. And maybe there's a story you see out there you want us to take on, and send us that link to the article. We take a look and we'll say, hey, let's discuss this as well. So with that, let's give our final shout outs for the end of the show. We're going to start with King Lucky. What would you like for everyone to know at the moment?
Welcome to the kingdom. Shirt is coming. Hashtag my king. But in all seriousness, thank you everybody for listening, watching. We thank you for your support internationally and domestically. And send a special shout out to old John there, deployed. I know he's listening. So we love you, baby. Get home safe.
No doubt. Simon Street.
Hey, real quick, guys, I'm usually joking around and not being taken seriously, but real talk, I have a challenge for everybody that's listening. From now, for the rest of the year, I want you guys to have the challenge of choosing humanity over allegiances for the rest of 2020. Humanity over allegiances. I'm going to be doing it, and I know if you're watching and you care and you have a good heart, you'll do the same.
All right. Sin City.
Really well said, Simon, by the way. Thank you guys for hanging out with us in the chat. Thank you to Jonathan. Thank you to Lisa. Thank you to Shant. Thank you to Ramon. Everybody that popped in there that was hanging out with us in there. You guys that haven't checked out the chat, why not? Get in there. Just go to repsports.com. If you like energy drinks, wellness items, all that kind of fun stuff, REPPsports.com. They got all sorts of shit there. Go check it out and use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%. It does give us a little bit of a commission as well, so full disclosure. And as Lucky had mentioned, shout out to our boy, the Storm and Mormon, who's fighting valiantly for our country, and to every other man and woman serving abroad or domestically here for our great country. Thank you.
Absolutely. Matt Michaels.
The man had a fly on his head for 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
Well, let's shout out the fly. Okay. Shout out to the fly. All right. With that, guys, thank you for listening. And of course, we do all this entertainment for you. We'll see you next week. Till then, we're out. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.